and I just kind of recorded myself singing rapping along. my verse, singing along to the verse. Wow. And then I was like, should I post it? Whatever. I just posted it. And I was going to delete it. And then it came across Jack's eyes, and then he shot us a follow because of it. That's crazy.
Listen, let me jump into this formally, all right?
Yeah.
This is the next episode of In a Minute with Evan Lovett. And I got some legit special guests here, all right? This is people I've been wanting to have on for a while, okay? And by the way, we're in the IM Studios in the heart of L.A.
Yes, sir.
These dudes came from the real heart of L.A. This is Coyote, Ricky Blanco, and Lady Love.
Guapo.
All right? These dudes, okay? This is the truth. You guys know, if you've been listening, that I'm a big hip-hop guy, all right?
Yep.
Grew up with hip-hop. Former MC in the 90s.
Oh, word?
Have
grown. I gotta look that up. That
shit. Literally, Evolution, by the way. Look it up. White guy like, freestyle, fucking Tahoe, like the 1990s. Dude, the
boxing announcer, Max Kellerman. Oh, yeah. He was a rapper. He was kind of good, too.
Dude, he's kind of good, and he knows what's up.
Yeah.
But listen, Coyote comes from Hawthorne / Lennox.
Yep.
And I always hear you talking about Lennox in the tracks, and I want to get into that because I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm from the Valley. I don't know a ton about Lennox. Hawthorne I've heard of, because listen, Beach Boys. Yeah. But there's a lot of folks Tyler that come creator. From the Beach Boys. And we're going to get come from Hawthorne, but we're going to get into that. Here's the truth. All right. This is going to be a dope episode. I appreciate you guys being here. Thank you very much for coming to the IM Studios.
Thanks for having us, man.
Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. But real quick, got to give a shout out to my sponsor, Culver City Toyota. All right.
Yep.
Culver City Toyota for your new or pre-owned vehicle, RAV4, Prius, Tacoma, go see George. George has a special. You say, what's up to LA in a minute. You say, LA in a minute sent you. He's going to give you $500 dealer cash off a new or pre-owned. Culver City Toyota. Those are literally my guys, by the way. Oh, you guys have any experience in Culver City? We're going to get into a lot of stuff. But what do you know about Culver City? So,
we used to have some homies.
City G's, man. Shout out to the City G's.
Yeah. You know, heard of them or no?
I'm not going to bull.
Says D-Boy and G-Boy.
Yep, they're from, D-Boy was from San Pedro, but he used to hang with them, City G's in Culver City. The homie Sess from the West, he was from Culver City. When I met him, he had just got shot by AK-47. He was like,
his brother
just got killed. But we spent a lot of time with those guys, and they kind of introduced us to the whole Culver City vibe. The City G's, man. Shout out to them.
Well, listen, I got a different experience with Culver City, to be honest, all right? Yeah. When I grew up, Culver City and Palms, it was like you go west for Palms, you go east for Culver City. It's the same thing. Culver City now has developed into like kind of a mini downtown sort of situation. Bike lanes, like Helms Bakery, Father's Office, like... But the point is, Culver City Toyota, go there, say what's up to George. He's going to give you $500 dealer cash off.
Give me a car, George.
There you go.
And Tito's Tacos is trash, by the way.
Yeah, I concur.
Hold on. What's right next door to Tito's Tacos, though?
I don't know. I just know Tito's, and it's hyped up, and I f-ing hate it.
Johnny's Pastrami, though. Right next door to Tito's Tacos. Johnny's Pastrami is legit. And by the way, Tito's Tacos, true story. True story. I did an early episode on Tito's Tacos because it is legendary in Los Angeles.
It is legendary, and I don't know why. Get this.
They wouldn't help me out. You guys know what I do. I try to tell positive story, uplifting Los Angeles.
For sure.
They were like, nah, we're not interested. I'm like, really? Like, all right. So anyway, look.
So double f*** them.
Yeah, double f*** them. Matter of fact, go to Imperial Rico's Tacos El Tio. On Imperial and between Dodie's
Tacos too on Crenshaw and Rosecrans.
All right. And listen, we were just talking about this. Me and the crew in here, right? Best tacos in LA. I'm not gonna ask you that because I hate that question. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about tacos in LA. There's so many good tacos in LA. And wherever you go, 90%+ of the time is dope tacos. Dope tacos. Yeah, but let me introduce it. So Coyote, all right. Introduce yourself real quick. All right. So Ladies Love Guapo, Ricky Blanco, give me a quick intro, and then I want to get into stuff that's serious, and let's go.
Yeah, I'm Ladies Love Guapo. My name is self-explanatory.
Man, I'm Ricky Blanco, the motherfucking blizzard. When you hear that, there's a blizzard outside. Just know I'm coming, man. And that's it. That's pretty much it. I don't got nothing else to say.
Let me tell you guys something. For people who don't know, all right, I look how I look. I am who I am. I'm from the Valley. That's the truth. I grew up a hip hop guy, first and foremost. All right. Yeah. Doughboy knows this. Scooby knows this. The fact is, I feel like I'm pretty damn qualified to know what's up with hip hop lyricists, MCs, and hip hop. And look, I don't follow all the commercial stuff. Yeah. I'm not trying to pretend and be like, I know what these new drops or these new artists, mm-hmm. but I know this. When I heard Coyote, okay, this is a true story. I was like, wait, what is this real quick? Mm-hmm. Because this sounds like some legit West Coast hip hop that I grew up with, that we grew up with. Yeah. However, it sounds like an updated modern version of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Dope lyrics, dope beats, but most importantly, like intelligent, introspective stuff. And let's call it what it is. You guys are Mexican, correct?
Correct.
Oh,
yep. So you're following in the lineage of LA legends, Be Real,
yep.
Lighter Shade of Brown,
yep.
Tumex, Kid Frost. Yeah. So this is very important because we know, and I always talk about, LA is a Mexican city. Like, it is a Mexican city. That's the truth. Alta California, before it was Los Angeles in the United States, it was a Mexican city. So you guys are carrying forth a legacy in that regard, both as lyricists and MCs and rappers. First of all, talk about that for one sec. How is that, and where does that even fit in, or does it? Or is it, yo, definitely, we just like rapping and we're fucking dope?
No, it definitely does. I mean, it's a part of our whole brand, I guess. Subtly, everything is to like plug our culture, I guess, just because we say this a lot. Like, we feel like growing up, we seemed more just like the help, or we're like the consumer, or we're like the stepchild of this country. We weren't really portrayed much when we were watching it. There was a few, there was Selena, Cypress Hill, but they were past our time. So we had to, once we really started studying hip hop when we were older, then we started finding
digging deeper Cypress and Hills, finding stuff. Yeah.
Big Pun, Cycle Realm, Kid Frost and all that. But in our eyes, the people that really reached the heights that we're trying to reach is Cypress Hill and Big Pun. So when we started studying them, we were already older. So growing up, like, I don't know if you want to call it an identity crisis, because I think Mexican Americans are so tied into Mexico. Like, I'm first generation. So we're at Telemundo on all the time. I knew Juan Gabriel, Vicente Fernandez. Like, we had all Pedro Infante. Like, Mexican, real Mexican culture was present in my household. But when we turned on the TV in the USA, I
didn't really see. And when we went outside, too.
Like, I didn't see us. So I think that's why we started gravitating towards hip hop, because quickly I was like, all right, well, I'm not this. I kind of fit in more over here a little bit. Plus, it was everywhere in LA. So we just started gravitating to it subconsciously, never thinking we were going to rap, because we started later. But you want to touch on that?
Wait, touch on that. Touch on that.
Yeah, I mean, like he said, growing up, we just gravitated to hip hop, and we make music for everybody, really. You know what I mean? It's not strictly just for Mexicans, and that's the code we're trying to crack, like the Cypress Hills did it. You know what I mean? When you hear them, you don't just hear Hispanics. You just hear artists, rappers rapping. And that's the same code we're trying to crack, make it for everybody. But there's so little of us that we feel we have to put our culture on our back to represent and show the next generation, like, hey, we're doing it, you could do it too. You know what I mean?
See, that's important. And like, again, like when I grew up, and this is the truth, right? In the 90s, let's be honest, hip hop was African-American in LA. Like,
for sure.
There was like Third Base and MC Search and all that kind of stuff like outside, but like it was what it was. I started freestyling, this is a true story. Backyard, Valley Backyard Party. My boy, there's this guy, John DeHaan, who used to rap. Shout out John DeHaan. I don't even know if you exist anymore, but like, my boy was like,
dead.
Yo.
Shout out to dead John DeHaan.
You like to talk. He's like, I've heard you ranting about He's like, this dude likes to battle and freestyle. Why don't you try this?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes, and you see, and back then, freestyle was freestyle. Yeah. By the way, I got to get this on record. Freestyle.
Man, off the top.
Doesn't mean what it used to mean.
Yeah.
In my day, that meant like either somebody was throwing you words and you'd have to rhyme on those words, or you just come up with some story. Dude's wearing a green Dodger hat, you know, or something like that, you know, stuff like that. But now freestyle kind of means, yo, I got this verse that hasn't been released yet. Let me drop it.
Drop it
over an instrumental.
Yes, correct.
Just talking
But either way, so like, I remember, and I was decent, for real. And so I'd go to battles and people would be like, look at me. And I'd play up my image. I'd wear khakis and a polo shirt. And I had this
extra white.
Yes, I had curly blonde hair that, by the way, was like Justin Timberlake at the time. And people would be
like him.
People be like, you rap? And then so I'd like have to drop a freestyle just to get into the battle, by the way. Yeah. So it was a different culture. But there was always the lighter shade of brown. Mm-hmm. There was Be Real and there was Kid Frost. And you know underneath, like, that's what LA is. And that's where, like, the LA is. So there's not that kind of representation, but
we know that in the streets, LA, you can't escape Mexican culture, right? And even like Dre and Snoop and LA culture, to me, like the street culture is a combination of black and Mexican, the street LA, Dre, Snoop and all of them, they put it on the map. But a lot of that is a part of, like, it came from like the Zoot Suits and like the Dickies, the crease lines on the pants. Like, a lot of that was like Mexican American stuff. But since we didn't have the representation, nor did we care to, I feel like, it kind of, you know, we kind of went unnoticed. So when people think of LA, it is Kendrick, Snoop, Dre, like, when it's predominantly us, but you can't see it. Like, if you ask a person from Atlanta or something, like, they don't think of Mexican culture when they think of L.A. They will think of Compton. They will think of Dre and Snoop. Correct. Rightfully so, because those motherfuckers did their thing and really put the city on the map. But I feel for us, like, I mean, Cypress Hill did a hell of a job, too, man. I don't want to take nothing away from them because they really cracked the code. And like my brother said, you see them as artists first. And then you hear the lingo in their music and then you're like, oh,
yes,
they're Latinos, like, so that's cool, and that's what we're trying to do, almost exactly what they did in a newer way,
except in a different way. Different, you guys are brothers. Yeah, let me talk about that for a second.
Yeah,
all right, so obviously you grew up together.
Yeah.
How'd you get into hip-hop? Who became a rapper first? Who was like, yo, let me jump on this mic and let's spit some rhymes right now?
We started smoking weed and then just getting high at like 14 years old, and then just started freestyling and just rapping off about dumb shit, I think.
Wait. Real, what made you freestyle? What made you though? Because I told you my like origin story. Like, were you in a car? You were in your room? You were playing some video games?
I don't remember us losing. I guess we were on a basketball team and we were playing the championship league at Bethune Park in South Central, and we had lost the championship game. And then after that, that's when our basketball career went down the drain, and we just said, okay, let's get high. And we started ciphering. I don't know. I forgot. I think it was the homie's house. Whose house was it?
It was John's house. John's That's house? How I remember it. Yeah.
Okay. So we were at the homie's house. We smoked weed. And then I do remember we had a whole concept about rapping about titties.
Yeah.
And we were just faded rapping about titties. And then the homies were like, nah, you guys are pretty good. Yeah. And we took that serious. We weren't pretty good at the time, but hey, you got to start somewhere, you know what
I mean? A week later, we bought Fruity Loops, Cubase.
A week later, we was at Guitar Center.
Hold on, though. You said you weren't really good, but you know, and I was there at least at that low level.
For sure.
Where you're like, I'm at least better than these other cats right here. So I don't know if I'm good, but like,
there's definitely something there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we always had the cool factor down. So like, we were always cool, like, you know, like in our school when we were growing up in high school, it was a big, like, you know, black and Mexican beefs and this, that, and the third. But somehow me and my brother existed in unison in both worlds. Like, we were, to me, like one of the first Mexican kids that was starting to bridge that relationship between like black and brown people in LA, because it was very real. And we would get from the I would hear the black people say some crazy shit about Mexicans. Mm-hmm. I would hear the Mexicans say crazy shit about black people, but we were like in the middle space. So we how did I get there?
I don't
what
know.
What school? Hold on. I want to know what high school you went to.
I don't know, but
it's what high school?
True. I was trying to get to my point, but I don't remember even what the the point was. We went to Hawthorne High.
The cool factor. You're talking about the cool factor.
And how you knew you were dope rapping. At least my brother, dope enough to keep doing it.
Yeah. Like, the black homies would be like, man, y'all black. And then the Mexican fools would be like, man, y'all we would hang out mostly with the Mexican homies, but they'll be like, man, y'all fools trying to be black. So we would like get from both, and it's like, well, we would hear them say and be like, nah, y'all different. So we saw like the prejudice on both sides growing up, but we had the cool factor.
Never subscribe to it either, though, you know what I mean? Like, We had the cool factor and we had the confidence to keep going because, yeah, when you start some shit, you're going to have the motherfucker behind your back like hee hee ha ha laughing about shit you're doing. But it's like, man, we knew that there was something there. So like we just kept pursuing it and it led to us being where we're at right now.
You know? Was there anything before that? You say the confidence, any kind of like artistic
always
poetry. We were always, I was a good speaker. I could convince, debate, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the art factor was always there. I was always drawing stuff. He was always drawing stuff. And to this day, we still paint. And we draw. In our studio, like on the walls, all stuff that we draw. You know what I mean? And yeah, drawing was a big art factor in it. And then also having a good taste in like what's dope. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't like.
Cool factor.
Yeah, yeah, started like being fly. Yeah. We liked Dipset. We liked Kanye, Pharrell, like, so they're like, oh, these motherfuckers are fly.
Early,
but
early.
Again, in our area at the time, the Mexicans weren't really doing that. So when we would put on, like, people, we used to call ourselves Diffricans, and it was like, not, we weren't even Mexican, American, we were Diffricans because our group of friends, we had black people in our group. We had, like, the person that put us on to East Coast hip hop was a white dude. So it was like, because we grew up in Hawthorne, we did have the white influence, which was the skater culture.
Yeah.
So that, like, we always say this, our whole entity is almost like skater culture, hip hop culture, and cholo culture. So we grew up moving a lot. So I think that's what probably saved us from like gang banging or whatever, because you know we grew up in Lenox first and then moved to Mexico, then went in Hawthorne. We moved so much that we didn't have a chance to cling on to something, yeah, like skateboarding, gang banging.
I want to take an aside right here, and this is something that's always intriguing. Again, like I've met you guys before. We met at Rhyme Fest a couple months ago, whatever it was, during the summer. But I only know you guys through your music, right? And you got the two albums, Thicker Than Water and L Aliens. Mm-hmm. Or L Dot Aliens. Easier, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you got the two albums. But like I feel like there's something like super LA about that, whether it's the upbringing, the moving, the cultures, the melding of the cultures. Maybe it's Hawthorne. And Hawthorne.
Something in the water in Hawthorne.
So Hawthorne, Lenox, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about Lenox.
Lenox is a little TJ, man. Yeah.
You know TJ? That's what they used to call it.
Yeah. Of course.
Little TJ. Yeah.
All have Mexicans
growing. Have you done a segment of LA in a Minute in Lenox yet?
Not on Lenox. No, but Hawthorne's on.
You gotta go to Jim's Burgers. You gotta go to Guadalajara. Chentes. You gotta go to Chentes.
Anthony Bourdain, that was one of the last spots he did, was Chentes with Nate Diaz and Nick Diaz. Randomly, unprepared. They almost turned them away. But I think someone talked to Chente, like, trust me, you don't want to turn these guys away.
Wait, so you guys grew up in Lenox?
Lenox was our first home. Yeah. And that's where my parents met. My mom worked at Jim's Burgers on the corner of Inglewood Ave and 111th. Mm-hmm. And that's where my dad met my mom. He was stalking her on his little bicycle. My pops was a little dope boy from the block. And that's where they met. And that's where, I guess, me and my bro got conceived. My first house was that First Street Bureau.
Wow.
Was it Bureau? One of those. The street right behind Jim's Burgers was the first house we ever lived in. And then after that, we moved to Mexico. And then they were trying to kidnap us over there. So that's a whole other story.
What? No, you can't brush over that. Give me that. at least the bullet points
before
of that.
Before we moved to Mexico, because I said I moved a lot. We moved a lot within Lenox. Then we went to Felton, York. Like by first to fifth grade, we went to five different schools.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then we moved to Mexico. Go ahead.
Moved to Mexico, came back.
With who and why?
With our parents. And then, you know, my dad got into it with a family member out there and different out there. It's like wild, wild west out there. I was too young to really understand what was going on, but I've heard little things that they say, yeah, somebody threatened to kidnap us at one time. So my parents were like, nah, we don't play that. They flew us back out. I remember living at my mom's twin sister's house while they were still in Mexico for like 3 months before they came back to actually get us.
And HP, that was HP.
Yeah, and HP, Huntington Park. So we stayed in Huntington Park for like 4 months or something.
Huntington Park is a sneaky dope community, by the way.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Also all Mexico. That's where I'm over talking like, nah, dick.
Not dick, nah.
Dick is a big.
Yeah.
I love the HP.
So yeah, you got to do a segment in Lenox. There's a lot of dope shit in Lenox. And Guadalajara got some of the best micheladas out there. Yep.
Facts.
If not the best.
Wait, when did you guys get back to Hawthorne then?
Back when I was like 10, maybe?
When I was in sixth grade, that's when we got back to Hawthorne.
Yeah.
All right, like let me ask you this.
So then I went to Dana. That's when I had a culture shock. That's when I realized I was Mexican. Because before that, I had no clue. All I grew up around is Mexicans. I lived in Mexico. There was a few black people, a few Samoans and Tongans. I knew of white people because of TV, but I don't even know if I ever knew them. But then we moved to Hawthorne, and then I went to Dana, where it was predominantly white.
What's Dana? Hold on.
Dana Middle School. Okay. Now it's called, what's it called now? I don't know what it's called.
Okay, go Dana to me.
All right, go.
And then that's what was predominantly white. And all the Mexicans were from Mexico, so they put me in ESL. They didn't think I knew English.
I thought he was on a small yellow bus. Because
they're coming, moving from Mexico.
Which he is, Bobby.
So they're like, oh, they're moving from Mexico. This guy probably don't know how to talk. And then like 2 months in, the teacher was like, man, I don't know why the you're here. Then they moved me out of that class to the regular people class, I guess. But then that's when I felt like I was treated like, oh, I'm not this. So that's when the whole thought process started.
The identity crisis started
in sixth grade. So I hung out with the Mexicans, like that couldn't barely speak English. Then I had the homie Lewis and the homie Ulysses that were Mexican Americans, but a lot of us were just like the kids that, you know, we didn't really belong. So I got like the outsider. I was always an outsider, but I definitely experienced.
Did you feel that? You recognize that at the time?
I've always been a loner. I guess even in Moffitt, I had like my 1-2 friends, but was always trying to fuck with me. So I was a scrapper. Like I used to just fight. My whole youth, I just remember fighting a lot because people try to pick on me.
Listen, I got it. What was your upbringing like? Like, I know that your mom was a phlebotomist. Mm-hmm. All right.
She is still.
A phlebotomist, right? So that's a pretty serious vocation, right? Yeah. Somebody like draws blood, like does all that kind of stuff. So did she have you on the straight and narrow? Did you grow up with your pops? Like,
well, they're still married. My dad was when we were kids, we didn't know this, right? But he had his legal business, but then I guess he had his, I don't know what he was doing type shit. But whatever he was doing, it led us to go to Mexico, and then everything went to shit out there. Oh, wow. I'll just say that.
So that's where
Then it started from nothing when we moved back, literally from ground zero. Again, moving with my tia.
With both?
To my grandma. Oh, yeah, they both came back. But upbringing, since we moved so much, I was always the new kid. So I think that's what led to me fighting a lot, because I was like, all right, I'm the new kid. I was a little on the chubby side. So people tried to play me for like a and then that's when I was just down to scrap all the time. So that was mad regular. And then once we moved to Dana, then it was consistent, or to Hawthorne. Hawthorne is when we finally got the sense of like stability in Hawthorne.
And Ricky, you're younger. Did you feel that? What was that relation?
Nah, hell nah. I felt like I was embraced with open arms, man. It was like I started skating. I started hanging out with all the cool kids. And
of course.
He was a cool kid.
I just had the little brother syndrome, man. And it was all good. He went to Dana. I ended up going to Peter Burnett. So I was in like the third grade. And my cousin was going to that school. So that also kind of helped me make friends. Because me and my cousin, shout out to Michael.
He was a cool kid too.
He was one of the cool kids. And he knew everybody at that school. So all I had to do was hang out with
him. What was your relationship like growing up?
Great.
It was cool. We fought a couple times. We grew up watching a lot of WWF. So, you know, that led to a lot of fights and that started off playing, but then end up getting serious and shit. And then it was like one of the rules when our parents would leave us alone, like no wrestling, make sure there's no wrestling, because he done got cracked over his head with a brick a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, we'd see backyard wrestling and we'd want to like imitate that.
Yeah. Like we thought it was real
with the brick, with the cinder block. Huh?
Just in general, we were having TLC matches. You know what that is? Tables, ladders, and chairs. We were kids.
We was all about it.
We was really like, because growing up, again, being Mexican, like the moving a lot, we didn't have friends, but I almost didn't need friends because it was my brother, my cousin Mike, my cousin Johnny. So there was four of us. So I had my little clique. So that's what kind of made me also walk with my chest out. Like I didn't have this like desire to fit in. Like what? And girls always liked me. Going back to my name, like, I've never had a problem there. So I've had this like blind sense of confidence. So like when dudes used to try to test me, like I'm always down to take it there. And it's something I'm working on still to this day, because I still have like, I guess, trust issues.
people's wives and girlfriends, and then at least the
dude, his wife is watching, bro. Come on,
it's a joke. It's a joke. Hey. It's a joke.
All right, two things. One thing that stood out, or that stands out to me from your guys' music, is you guys are intelligent, man. Like, thank you, man. Both of you guys. And again, I've studied lyricism for 35 years now, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. going back to Nas, Illmatic, but going through guys like Last Emperor, Chaotix, Binary Star, Company mm-hmm. Flow, like, fine. Everybody, and all the West Coast, of course, but like deep lyricism and intricate, like, wordplay, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys understand both the manipulation of rhymes and mm-hmm. lyrics, okay? And both of you guys come from like, yo, this is where I come from, this is what I'm talking about, this is my experience, but there's an intelligence and a vocabulary behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you weren't f***ing around in school.
Yeah.
Where's that come from? All right, because you guys are both like highly intelligent MCs.
Nowadays, there's this thing called ChatGPT AI. Just kind of tell it what to write for you, and it'll do it. And then you just come off smarter than what you really are. It's, I don't know, man. It's just like being fans of the art form and taking this serious and actually caring about it. That's all it is, you know, because we care.
Caring about
we
it.
Care. We care. We want to put out a good product, at least in our eyes. You know what I mean? And yeah, man, we've been going at this for a minute. So it's like we want to shoot at the highest level. So we take time to put the pen down and really come up with something that's like, God damn, that shit was sick as fuck. You know what I mean? And we want the guys that we grew up admiring to hear this and be like, who the fuck is that? Like,
it's crazy to see it actually happen.
And it's happening, yeah. Like, be real. Like, that's somebody Mortal we grew technique. Up admiring. And it's like, comes full circle. Now he's like a mentor to us and is really f***ing with us. So
collaborator.
And it's all going to what we strive to do like that. You know what I mean? And it's actually happening.
I'm not trying to be like fanboy right here, but this is the truth. Is like at Rhymefest, when I said, and by the way, you guys had you weren't the headliner, all mm-hmm. right? Because you guys are relatively new.
Yeah.
But you guys stole the show, and you literally had the dopest show out there. That's a fact.
We thought so, too.
Go look at the video. I was like, holy. Although you didn't do La La Land, which I was like, damn it, bro. But that's
cool. First time we did that was at our show. The headline. We weren't sure how the crowd was going to react to that song, so we didn't want to test it there.
Anyways, dope show.
Yeah,
but the thing is, Be Real came out with you guys, right? Because they have track with Be Real. Do you have multiple tracks? I know you want to get high full, but are there more?
Another one on the way.
Okay,
we're definitely gonna work again in the future.
So I saw Be Real come out, and again, Be Real, LA legend, hip hop legend, basically living legend. No, facts. No pun intended. To hip-hop and respect legend. To the living legends,
hip hop legend.
Yeah, hip hop legend.
Believe their flag is stamped in hip hop culture.
He came out, and he could have just done that track. And be like, all right, that's my first pajama, I'm out of here. But he like stayed on stage and he was like with you guys and like kind of doing backup at a certain point for lack of a better term. Hey, no disrespect, love Be Real. And I'm not like always backup. But I was like, that shows a level of respect to what you guys are doing. Sure. And again, like, I want to focus on this because this has been so important to me since I was involved in hip hop is... You guys care about the way your rhymes are put together. And I don't want to lose people because I know that that's not like what a lot of people.
Most people don't give a f***.
Right. Mm. But rhyme scheme is important and unique delivery is important and circling back on different like syllable, like wordplay. And you guys take that seriously.
Yeah.
And it works. And like, and by the way, just to set this up. Guapo, the way I look at it, Guapo is like the gravitas, right? Like he comes in.
Like, smart. I don't even know what that means.
You're like the heavy hitter, right? Like you got like that introspective, like your voice somehow. I don't have the vocabulary to describe it, but your voice like envelops the listener where you're like, oh, like Guapo's talking. I gotta listen.
Yeah.
And then Ricky comes in with this intricate like wordplay that's amongst the best. Like the classic lyricists, they were like, pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. With the syllables, we're like, okay, these guys aren't just dope rappers, and they are. And it's not just dope beats and dope tracks that I like to listen to, but you're like, no. These guys are students of the game
for sure.
That understand it. who were your influences? And don't give me like the cliche, like bull, like for real, because I know you've studied it and looked at it.
So when we first started, I mean, naturally we're influenced by all the West Coast subconsciously before we even thought about rapping, like Ice Cube, Snoop, Dre.
And that's what we all grew up on, right? To set that foundation and understand like, what it is. Yeah.
One of my first memories of music was of Tupac cassette that my sister had. And like, that's one of my first memories of just music, me liking, like, oh, who's this guy? Anyways, and then, like I said earlier, then we got introduced to East Coast stuff before we even thought about rapping. So that was already getting beat into our head, like the Wu-Tang, the Mobb Deeps, the, on top of what was happening at the time, Eminem, 50 Cent, The Game, Kanye West, Pharrell. So all those influences are coming in there. And then we started rapping, and around the time we started rapping, we got into underground music, which was Immortal Technique, Jedi Mind Tricks, MERS.
Shout out MERS, 316 is genius.
So now we got all this knowledge of just existing, and then we're starting to rap. So, it all kind of just melted, and going back to being Latino, like I didn't want people to try to check me on my hip hop game. So I feel like I had to know everything and everybody. So we just studied everything.
It's the intellectual curiosity. So you were studying. Were you guys?
And we try to be lyrical at first, like underground lyrical. Well, not the very first song, but shortly after.
Wait, what was the very first song though?
It was on some bullshit. it's called Make It Bounce.
Some strip clubs.
But you're kids though, dude. at the time, come on. Like, and you were making, who was making beats?
That shit was a MySpace hit, man. Yeah, I remember going to school the next day after we dropped it. Everybody was like, hey, I like your guys' song. Like the whole school. And I was like, hell yeah. That's when I thought like, all right, I could really do this
first
rapper
song
shit.
Ever.
First song ever.
Who produced it?
Crazy.
My cousin Michael.
Yeah.
Mike O.
With Fruity Loops?
Fruity Loops, yeah. Real simple bass line. Kick, probably the snap, snare, or something.
Super simple.
Ooh, and when did you start to get underground, those higher level concepts and like that intricate lyricism?
I think shortly after, huh?
Yeah, shortly after, because once you get in a cypher with like real dogs and rappers that can spit, and you realize like, nah, like you get ate up, you're like, nah, f*** that. Next time I come back around, I'm going to have my s*** together and I'm about to kill them. And that's when that mentality came in of like pulling out a sharp sword and just chopping heads, which got influenced by Wu-Tang as well. And I feel like right now we're like artists for artists. Like you said, you were once an artist, right? So you understand, you're like breaking down the lyrics and I feel like a lot of artists come up to us and are like, man, y'all the and I feel like half the time regular people, they don't even give a
no,
and it's like they just want a vibe. They just want a feeling. You know what I mean? So like we're like rappers. So like a lot of rap people like admire us and give us props for it, which is cool. You know what I mean?
The group that influenced me the most was Little Brother. They got an MC named Fonte. Again, now he's doing some different, but this back, and they're from North Carolina. But either way, I remember he had a song that was like people like, oh, I love track 3. I want to hear track 6. And this is back when it was like CDs. Yeah. That did just to date myself. But nobody paid attention. Forget the rhyme scheme. Nobody even paid attention to the lyrics. And that's kind of how it is. But like for the heads and when you're actually doing it and you're understanding, you're like, yo, that's how that works. Yeah. And like, that's why it sounds like that and triggers out in your brain.
Hip-hop always comes back. The raps always come back. If you look at the biggest hip-hop artists in the world, they're real rappers. I don't care what nobody says. Bro. Kendrick is a real rapper. Bro. Drake is a real rapper. Cole is a real rapper. And so is Doja Cat. And so is these motherfuckers rap, bro. So rap is still in fashion. You just got to, the science is just like, all right, how do you make this digestible for the masses, but don't lose the integrity of the bars? That's like the sweet spot that we're trying to find. And we're chipping away at it, and we're getting closer to finding the thing that makes it like for everybody type.
Okay,
but you can't go in it trying to do that though. You just have to keep just making music.
Is that the goal though? Yeah. Is to make it for everybody?
Man,
is that the goal?
What is the vision? What is the vision?
Is the goal? I feel like the goal is let's take this as far as we can and let's see where we land. But let's keep pushing that bar to keep like outdoing ourselves with everything we do. So our next drop got to be better than the last drop.
And again, I think it's important to always not seeking anything from anyone, right? But it means a lot when your peers that you respect be like, that shit dope. And that, like, I never want to steer away from that. Like, it does mean a lot when someone I respect, like, respects what we're doing. It's like, damn, like, that's hard. Like, hell yeah.
So here's this is the debate. This is the eternal debate in hip hop is, do you want to be dope or do you want to make money?
Both.
Yeah. How many people have been able to thread that needle, though, man?
Like, enough to know that it's possible.
Enough to know that exactly.
Yeah, all right. Hold on.
Tangible.
Let me pivot and go back to Hawthorne for a sec.
All right.
You know who came from Hawthorne?
Another drink or no?
Yes. Hold on. Let me take a little aside right here. Who are you guys contemporarily listening to that's dope? Let me drop somebody's name that I'm just into right now. Uh-huh. I found him through you guys. Uh-huh. Even though I don't think you've done anything, it was like some playlist algorithm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Obed Padilla.
Oh yeah, we know him. Shout out.
Okay. So who you guys with right now, contemporary? And I'm gonna get back to the script, but by the way, cheers first. Salute,
man.
I'm not gonna throw this one back. I'm gonna sip it.
I'm throwing it back, because that's how I roll. But go up.
I like West Side Boogie right now.
Same. The homie Doe Man.
He's on one of your tracks. He's on Thicker Than Water. Thicker Than Water. Right?
We have a whole collab project with him and the homie Emilio Rojas.
What's that? One Day to Live is the track or something like right? that,
left.
Right?
One Day Left. Yeah.
One Day Left. Sorry.
Stupid viral. Who else am I listening to, bro? Ricky Blanco.
hate that guy.
And Billie Eilish, man. I say her a lot, but I really am listening.
Hold up. And this is
she's from LA too, man. Shout out to LA,
bro. If I'm not mistaken, she and her maybe brother were in a living room in Toluca Lake or somewhere like that, working on tracks and making music, and that's where she first came from. So anybody that's come from LA got my heart.
They're from here, dog. And she's one of the biggest artists, and she's very good. She's a sad girl. I like her sad girl. I don't really listen to her pop stuff, but she's killing it and she's putting on for LA. I like
during Tyler. COVID, I was bumping that. Yeah. Not gonna lie, I'm a hip hop guy, but she was
Tyler the Creator. Dope. He's from Hawthorne. Yeah, Kuko from Hawthorne.
Kuko's fire.
Wait, what's Kuko? Hold on.
Kuko is like a alternative kind of rock ish type of guy.
You would like it.
He's like in his own lane, but he comes from Hawthorne too. Very creative.
So how in touch are you with the Hawthorne legacy? Because to me, that's everything, like where you come from. And I uncovered, so I'm not gonna lie, like I knew this.
Yeah.
Corrupt.
He's from Hawthorne?
Dog pound gangster. When I grew up, okay, it was like you said, Dre, Snoop, NW. I was the tail end of NWA. Yeah. So I was like, Dre, Snoop, all those guys, Dog Pound, Corrupt. Yeah. Was in Hawthorne. I knew he moved from Philadelphia, but his home base on the west side, on the west coast, was Hawthorne.
Yeah, I think I do remember that.
And what's funny is I always had this stigma, and I'm a very analytical guy. You guys know I do my research. Mm-hmm. I made a chart, right? And you guys understand this, lyrical ability, which is like the dexterity that you focus on, but also the depth and, content, because content is king, but sometimes what sounds better is what people want to hear.
Right.
So I made just simple chart, and Corrupt was near the top. But the problem is,
of all time, or what are you talking about?
Or what? Like,
it was relatively near the top, but nowhere near the top.
But your chart was of all time.
Here's what's important. There weren't that many West Coast lyricists that were near the top on both, right? Because for me, you got to go 10. Andre Benjamin, Mos Def, Black Thought, like Nas, like those are the guys.
Black Thought, incredible.
That are like lyricist. At or near the top of the all time spectrum, right?
Big L. Eminem, too. Can't hate on your own.
You want to know what's funny though?
You like Eminem.
I'm gonna get into a little aside about that. No,
white on white crime.
Man, I got a lot of feeling. Okay, here's the truth. All right, I'll go on record. I feel like Eminem is one of the most talented lyricists of all time. Of course, he is. I mean, he's done things that haven't been done.
If not in his prime, the best.
Okay, but here's what happened. Okay, then this is the truth, and this is me. I'm a asshole. I get it. I was rapping in the late 90s, okay? Like 97 to 99 to 2000, 2001. And I picked up a mic when Eminem was just before his Slim Shady, Marshall. And I'm not Eminem. But like at the same time, it annoyed me because I'm being honest, a lot of white guys started rapping after Eminem. And now it doesn't matter. Look, in retrospect, I'm like, who cares? And there's a lot of good white rappers. There's a lot of great white
Mac
rappers.
Mac Miller, but, one of the greats. He's on the white Mount Rushmore.
Mac Miller is definitely. Fucking... That dude has soul. Yeah. That dude has so much soul,
Action Bronson.
Dude.
Action Bronson's
on my all-time list, by the way. But so Eminem was always like, I felt this is so silly, but I was young.
Yeah.
I was like, that's
he
a
took
rival.
Your spot.
It was a rival, right? So I saw it. I was like, man, like that dude. Like, not like I could have been, and look, on record, I could never have been Eminem. I could have studied all my hours on it. Never could have been Eminem. Thank you, Eminem, for what you've done. Great rap. But I resented him for a while because like I was a white rapper.
He was
rapper,
living the life you wanted then, to live.
And I was like, but Eminem, one of the greatest of all time. Yeah, fact. Yeah, so sure. Truth is, but Corrupt came from Hawthorne.
He probably has a baby mama in Hawthorne. You know why? Because Hawthorne is the city of baby mamas. Everybody knows that. All the baby mamas move to Hawthorne. They go to in between Crenshaw and Prairie, live on Chadron or Cornbloom or something.
I didn't know that, but I'm going to include that in my Hawthorne episode of LA.
Hawthorne is
like, go to Chadron. There's like a gang of apartments, everybody living on top of each other. That's where all the baby mamas
I'm going to go to Jim's Burgers and then I'm going to talk about
Jim's Burgers, Lennox, bro. You got to get the chili cheese fries.
Yeah. Okay.
Chili cheese
best
fries.
Best cheese fries in the planet.
Is Tyler the Creator really from Hawthorne?
Yes, he is.
Okay,
we went to Hawthorne High. I know that for sure.
Beach Boys, we know.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the Beach Boys growing up?
Of course, everyone else surfing you.
Is it a big deal down there?
Not really. I know they got a monument somewhere next to the 105 freeway.
We're Mexican, bro. So
we weren't really Beach Boys.
Okay, so here's what I don't understand, and I'm white. I always heard how great the Beach Boys were. And what great songwriters. And I never understood songwriting from the sense of, because I come from a hip hop perspective where you got 16 bars, 16 bars, 16 bars, you got 48 bars in a song. You guys know this. That's a lot of writing, bro. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fucking
rap
content.
Is the most lyrically demanding form of art. Bro. So, when it's done properly, I don't like when people try to shit on the art form like it's not real music. Lyrically, when it's done properly, it's the most demanding out of any form of music.
I got chills right now because this is the absolute truth. I've said this 48 bars at minimum. Mm-hmm. And when you're dope,
back then,
when you're talking about the East Coast hip hop,
they're skipping.
Bro, yeah. And sometimes I look and look, I love the Doors, Los Angeles, Jim Morrison. I'm going to do a story on Jim Morrison, Beach Boys, legendary songwriters. But you look at those lyrics and I'm like, this is the entire song? Like that is like in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Like
mostly melody.
Like eight lines?
Yeah.
And I used to write. You guys write for real. Mm-hmm. You're like pages upon face, whether it's your phone, your computer, whatever it is.
Facts.
And I'm like, nobody respects that and understands that. And like, oh, hip hop, stupid, easy lyrics. I'm like, you try to write. Yeah, exactly. You try to write three paragraphs.
The problem is they hear. They hear whatever. That's all they hear. They don't see what's really happening there. Like, if you write some of these, like, here's a trip when I went to El Camino College when I was trying to.
Also in Hawthorne,
life.
Right?
Is it or is it in Torrance already? I don't know. It's like in the middle.
Might
of
be Torrance.
But the assignment in my English class was to read your favorite poem from your favorite poet. I was like, all right, I'm gonna read his Nas. You know what I'm saying? And it was the verse where
probably
you rap in from
favorite verses of all time.
The prison cell perspective. So I don't know if you ever heard it. It's called Last Words. And he's rapping from the perspective of a prison cell. Like, I'm a prison cell, 6x9, living hell, stone walls, metal bars for the gods in jail. My nickname,
the can, the slam of the big house.
I'm the place many fear because there's no way out. I take the sun away, put misery instead.
When you're with me, most folks consider you dead.
I've seen too many inmates falling apart. Some crying for
the guards to let them out when it's dark.
There's so many, bro, it's just like, The whole verse is crazy. So I wrote that.
Make you dream that you free, then you wake up to me, face to face with a cage. No matter your age, I could shatter you, turn you to a savage in rage.
Yeah.
Change your life. That's if you get a chance to get out. Cause only you and I know what suffering's about. Yo, it's stunning when bed sheets become your woman. And I'm the one that got your weapons when the beef is coming. Maybe someday I'll open up my arms to release you. You'll always be my property. Homie, stay legal.
Right.
Amazing. So
when I read it to the teacher, she was blown away. She's like, who is this? I was like, it's Nas. Like, so it's like, you write some of these things on paper and it'll be the best poets to ever exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, but people don't take the time to really study and do the research.
Nas got some of the best verses ever. Even that song where he's spitting backwards, it's just like
bananas.
Listen, so I grew up writing. When I grew up with Nas, I didn't grow up with Nas, but Nas was considered the best lyricist. Again, yeah. Illmatic was that like holy grail, right? So and like I Am, it was written, all those albums.
It was written,
like
crazy. Underrated.
Here, listen, people are gonna kill me for this, but I think It Was Written was better than
we're in the Illmatic community too.
Yeah, so like but yeah. Oh,
great albums,
both bro. Oh, dude,
Godson and even was great. I am,
and you know what? Like, what was that track on I Am?
Where
he's like pointing weak picture and squeeze on the.
We're talking about he's like an uncircumcised, like.
Oh yeah,
about
I gave you power. I gave you power. Yeah.
So like, again, but anyway, people don't understand that element of the lyricism, and that's the important thing. But going back, hold on, let me go back to Hawthorne. Mm-hmm. How important is it for you guys to represent Hawthorne Lennox as the pride and to be like, yo, I'm going to be on that Wikipedia. I'm going to be that guy that, not to pat myself on the back, the LA in a minute is to be like, oh, and also Coyotes from Hawthorne is a dope shit. You know what I mean? Like, how important is that?
I think early on, we didn't really think about it that much.
Yeah, I think it's just where we landed and it's about keeping it real. Like, hey, we are from Hawthorne and it is what it is. Like, we're not gonna say we're from somewhere else. Like, yeah, we all, everybody knows Compton's popular, but hey, we're from Hawthorne. Hawthorne.
Yeah, like, it's still,
I love Hawthorne though, man. It's beautiful.
Even Tyler, he said it multiple times and people still don't. It's one of those cities where people don't even,
and it's like it's literally right next to LAX, so it's like
right next LA. To LA. Yeah. I didn't even realize so that.
5 minutes is Lennox and Hawthorne, like Imperial, Century. That's our stomping grounds right there, like all the way from Century to Rosecrans.
It just gets overshadowed and by, like, when you say the South Bay, like you said, people think of El Segundo, Manhattan Beach,
Redondo.
Hawthorne is like that middle space, bro. So it's probably one of the most diverse areas in that area, because
I looked
you got
it up.
The hood,
it's
right
absolutely
there.
It's absolutely one of the most diverse areas.
You got hella Asians too. You got white, you got black, you got
Mexican. Dude, I'm now want to come down there and put that. You said Lennox, but I got a new story in Hawthorne.
They even got SpaceX there.
Hey, you ever do like hood vlogs? Like, you know, like take a camera and go tap in with people from certain neighborhoods?
You know, I don't do vlogs.
Because that's what you're kind of doing.
But here's the thing. Almost. Man on the street is what I call it.
So you just pull up and film like on your phone in the city kind
of? Right. So I try to have a history and like a script and like, because you know me, you guys know me.
Yeah.
I try to deliver information. Every segment, like you guys, every bar has to hit.
Yeah.
Every segment for me has to deliver information.
Yeah.
And listen, because my could be boring. Nobody likes history. But when every single 15 seconds, you're like, whoa, that's a dope fact. Yeah. Wait, Coyotes from there? Wait, Russ Westbrook is from Hawthorne? Yeah. Wait a minute. Marilyn Monroe?
Marilyn Monroe lived
in Hawthorne?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Jim Thorpe, the greatest athlete, the precursor to Bo Jackson, lived in Hawthorne? You guys know about Jim Thorpe, by the way?
No.
You guys know who Jim Thorpe is?
Mm-mm. Can't say
you seen Jim Thorpe Park in Hawthorne?
Where's that at?
Which park?
I don't know where the park is, but somebody asked me to report on it. Here's the thing.
Where the fuck is Jim Park?
Jim Thorpe, listen to this. Native American dude.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Supposedly, and again, I haven't checked the bona fides at this point, but supposedly the greatest athlete of all time. Well, of his era, in the 1910s, okay. 1920s.
That means he wasn't better than any of us in this room.
Well, that's a different conversation. But he was supposedly the Bo Jackson of his era. And he was in the Olympics. He was a sprinter, football, baseball, whatever sports. But Jim Thorpe was one of the greatest athletes of all time. Okay. Also from Hawthorne.
Nice.
So the point is, like, doing that story, representing Hawthorne, Coyote comes from there.
Yes,
like,
sir.
That's part of the legacy. All right.
So, the best thing Hawthorne's ever made.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, first of all, how'd you guys get signed? How'd you get discovered? Adler Group, Doughboy.
We're independent, but we are with Adler on our booking side. Doughboy is a homie. We've known him before we were even Coyote. We were in a group called CNC Squad. And he went to the show. He knew the homie from Culver City that we were talking about earlier, Sess.
Culver City Toyota.
And I think, I don't know if he invited him or I don't know how, or he was just a fan already because he heard of us through Sess. I don't know the exact backstory, but he approached the homie Daniel at the time, Knuckle, Audie Murphy. He had like 8 different names. But he called himself Audie Murphy. I don't know if you know who that is.
I think he saw dollar signs in his eyes and kind of forced the friendship with us.
Yeah. And then he approached Audie like, hey, I want to manage you guys. And then at the time, we're just like, okay, you want to help? Sure. And we've kind of been locked in ever since then, man. So it's like homies. By this point, we're like brothers. Like, it's a deeper relationship.
Hold on. You're independent. Who released your album, though?
Us. But we have a distro deal.
We had a distribution deal with Foundation. Was completely independent.
Yeah, that's us.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to be honest with you right here. Like, and this
and
is
it was number 13. It peaked at number 13.
Man. This is the truth. Yeah. I put this on anything. The album is dope. Mm-hmm. L. Aliens, all right? I'm not just saying that from LA. My son is coming at 5:10 tonight because he wants to meet Coyote because that album's dope. My wife, who, by the way, has great taste and she loves hip hop, is coming because she wants to meet Coyote. My boys that went with me to Rhyme Fest, Andy, what's up? Lance, what's up? What's CJ, up? What's up?
What's
because
good?
Coyote is dope. That album was dope.
Thank you, man.
How does that industry work? Like, what does that mean? Like, distributive, on a label, independent. What does that all mean?
So the industry is in shambles, right? Don't nobody know what the going on.
Correct.
It's like the Wild West because of the internet. And the same old tricks that worked back then, we were signed once upon a time, but we bought ourselves out. But we saw it firsthand. Like, we saw big labels put big money behind people and it failed. Like, no, the same tricks don't work. Like,
no, it's a different era, man.
Because of this, you know, ultimately, because of the phone. So we started noticing.
By the way, best and worst invention of all time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a gift and a curse, really.
God, yep.
So we saw this inside out. Like, we saw them put a bag up on people and it failed. We were in a situation and we were benched. And then we just started attacking the internet and we were seeing that was working damn near more than all the money they even
social
put
media?
Up on us.
Yeah, social media?
Yeah. Okay. So once we figured that out, it's just like, you know, you just got to cut the excuses and go find the people because they're there. Everyone is here. So you just got to kind of see what kind of works for you at first and then double down on that. So that's what we were doing. Like, this worked, this didn't. All right, let's do more of this. Da, da, da. And then ultimately we stopped caring what people were saying, if people liked it, if they did, if they didn't, and we just were attacking the internet and then it just started growing from there. And that's when, unbeknownst to us, we started creating a fan base, like just by being consistent online.
Was this before Thicker Than Water or
before.
Like?
Yeah,
so, before. So Thicker Than Water was us pretty much just saying, f*** you to the label, we're gonna release anyways.
Yeah.
And
we're still signed.
We dropped that in hopes that we would get dropped, but it kind of led to them having more interest in us, so we're like, damn it.
Yeah.
So we had to come up with the money to buy ourselves out.
No,
but we did. We
why bro- because they're you on the deal when you're like on the label, think, or what
I,
is
I think because so like you nothing. Know once you sign a deal and when you're idiots like us, you don't read the fine print and you just sign
you want the deal.
You
yeah,
want
yeah.
The money and you're like, fuck it. We signed it, wanted the money, and then pretty much signed a deal that held us hostage for the rest of our lives if we didn't get out of it. So we came up with the money and my brother put his house up,
mm-hmm.
and all types of other stuff.
We had to come up with the money. Though, most labels would have stopped us from doing what we were doing, which
yeah,
was,
they were cool about it at the end.
Fuck
like,
y'all, we're dropping on all DSPs. What you gonna do? Type.
Yeah, so, they would have. They would have took it down, and they would have said, "You know what? We're taking this down, and you can't buy yourselves out." So they were cool about it. We Super came up cool. with the money, and you know what I'm saying. We made the business right, and then after that, that's when we. Stepped on the gas, and it led to L. Dot Aliens. And,
hold on, but yeah. I got to
We already had most of L. Dot Aliens while we were signed, but we were like, we can't drop this because if we keep, we had so much momentum because we did drop the Shaq song when we were still signed, which was, I don't know if it was a mistake, but that's when they were really on our bumper. Like, what we doing? Like, the label was calling every other day. Like,
and that was after Thicker Than Water because.
Yeah, after. So, Thicker Than Water just. We were going viral before that, but the album did decent, but it didn't hit like the L. Dot Alien.
Hold on, was L.A. Ten Commandments the number one track on that album?
Not streaming wise, it was viral wise. One Day Left was on social media. Oh, right. That one went viral. Then L.A. Ten Commandments second.
Yeah. Out the Mud was Out dope.
Out the Mud.
That's the highest Simba, streaming by the way, song.
I don't know your relationship, Simba though.
Yeah, he's
one of the. Dopest MCs doing it right now, and that guy's like confidence is
wild,
palpable through the roof. He's good. That guy's crazy. Okay, sorry.
Out the Mud is the best streaming song on the album.
Okay.
But there's like eight different worlds, bro. What works on here may not work on Spotify. What works on Spotify may not work on YouTube. What works on so Spotify Out the Mud's doing great, and Apple on Instagram is more like the heartfelt. When we're saying something, or not even heartfelt, controversial, like,
more emotional people on Apple Music and Spotify.
Hold on, I don't want to jump ahead, but
or even Instagram, just on Instagram,
both of you guys that everybody lost, everybody broken, and then we feed our kids the poison. The recent you did, like so. First of all, yours with your.
The phone.
Family, the phone, in and out, Dodgers, born and raised, like so LA.
Yodi,
like,
I was wearing Yodi merch.
Dude, and it was like.
Yeah, and I was wearing Pro Club, but you couldn't see it on my pants.
You gotta check this out. And listen, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying ultimately with Coyote, and this is the truth. Again, like, as somebody who's been a serious purveyor of hip hop for 30 plus years, wow. Like.
Oh, that's fool.
To represent Los Angeles, but like with quality lyrics, quality like content, like
thank you, man, thank you.
Keeping it real, like there's the soul, there's the heart, there's the culture, there's everything that comes through. And then again, like Ricky with the junk food thing, like that hits big time because for my wife. We're always talking about this,
I feel
bro.
Like it's like, a big issue, you know what I'm saying? And when you look at some of the ingredients, that are illegal in other countries, like, why are they legal here? You know what I'm saying? It just raises awareness. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
Can I ask you guys an honest question?
Do we practice what we preach?
No, none of us do. None of us. Come on, bro.
I said this in the last podcast, like, I also wanted to put those verses out because I want to hold myself accountable.
It's like self-assessing yourself because we're like, victims to it. You know what I mean?
So that's how we're talking. I'm not talking like you, they, this. I'm like, nah, we, like, because it's real. Like, it comes from a real place. Like, it's something we have to work on.
I tell my son, oh, the screen time, why are you on your iPad all the time? And then, dude,
you're scrolling.
I'm putting him to bed.
In a minute. I'm telling my son to put his phone down while I'm on my phone.
Dude, I'm putting him to bed because I want to go. Anyway, you guys, but here's the truth. This is an honest question, man. Like, and I'm asking you honestly. You guys are like legit, like, I don't want to use that word hard for my day, but like you guys represent like real
for sure.
Thank you, man.
But you guys also address real issues, introspective stuff, sensitive stuff that maybe people don't want to address or deal with or acknowledge. Where does that come from? How do you agree to it? I mean, not how to agree. How do you decide to approach that? Because that's the most vulnerable that you can put out there.
Yeah. And sometimes being vulnerable it won't work. A lot of people think it doesn't work, but when it works in a major way. And I think as an artist, you just got to have layers, man. You can't be just one dimensional. Like, you can't always be in the strip club making bitches shake their ass. Even though that's cool, we have that type of stuff too, but we just try to show like real thoughts that actually creep into our heads and things we actually think about, just to show different type of emotions and layers to the art form, because I feel like that's what separates you apart from the bunch.
What you're saying is a thought, though. I know even before I decided to release the phone verse, I showed it to him first, because I was like, I remember I told him, I don't know what I think about it yet. And he heard it and he's like, man, it's viral. So then I was like, I swear to God, as soon as you start saying that, I started texting Marmo.
But when I say that, I'm never wrong.
Yeah. So I started texting Marmo to set up the shoot because I was unsure. And then when he laid his, he's like, am I being too, like, is it too preachy? Is it too? And then I'm like, nah, bro.
Yeah,
trust
I don't like coming off too preachy, because it's like, man. But at the same time, when I really heard it again, I was like, okay, I'm talking about myself as well. Not like I'm better than you. You need to do this. I'm just like, you know, speaking from just my thoughts.
Being vulnerable is tough, but at the end of the day, you see, like,
it's important too to be vulnerable, though.
How do you be vulnerable? I'm being honest from an outside person. How do you be vulnerable and be tough? And you said being vulnerable is tough, not even to use that as, but for real though, because you guys come off legit, but you come off like vulnerable enough that a white guy from the Valley is like, oh, I can relate with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we're all human beings. So you just have to be in touch with what it is being a human. And I think now that there is something happening where people are seeking that out. Like, they're not just seeking escapism all the way, like, because escapism's not really working. Like, a lot of people are f-ed up, like, everybody's f-ed up. And even a lot of these people with money and a lot of entertainers, like, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. So you got to talk about it, because right now I think people need to humanize the human. Like, nah, we're human and we got to not be scared to show the layers and be vulnerable. And being an artist, especially being a rapper, sometimes you do think about it, because you know, it's such a tough, like, hard
image is so much part
thing,
of
but it's like, I ain't worried about that. Like, if motherfuckers think we soft, like, all right, what's up then, bro? Like,
the energy,
say something. Yeah, say something when
the
you
energy's
see me,
different,
like,
in real life, yeah. But like, yeah.
All right. I know we're wrapping up pretty soon. I got to get a couple things. One, you guys not have one, but two tracks with Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah. Three. We haven't released one yet.
I was telling my producers here, I remember when Shaq was with Fushnik, not with, but did some tracks with Fushnikins in like 92.
Yeah.
He did his albums, and like, people have their feelings on Shaq, but now somebody's been in the game 30 plus years, takes it seriously, writes his own lyrics. He's pretty dope. One, I want to know how you hooked up with Shaq. Two, that track Pocho with Mario Lopez. Mm-hmm. What was that about? How'd you hook up there? Give me those.
Social media.
Yes. All the internet. They both found us on the internet. And they just reached out showing love. Like, yo, I like what you guys are doing. Keep it up. Come on. Yeah. And Mario was like, hopefully one day we get to do something. With Shaq, it was easier because I know he raps. So immediately, like, we dropped the clue.
But he hit you up. He was like, yo, your is dope.
This
like,
is fire. Keep going. Shot us a follow. Shot him a follow back. And
Do you remember what track?
It was some freestyle thing that I posted that I wasn't even going to post.
The song that
I was
released.
Some song.
Real freestyle or the modern day freestyle?
It was a song that we had did the night before. And then the next day I was hearing it in the car and I just kind of recorded myself
singing
along to the verse. Wow. And then I was like, should I post it? Whatever. I just posted it and I was going to delete it. And then came across Shaq's eyes and then he shot us a follow because of it. That's crazy.
I think Mario heard of us through the Shaq song, mm-hmm. and then he DM'd us, and he's like, hopefully one day I get to meet y'all or something. And then I was like,
funny thing is that attending. One day could be next week. We got a video shoot right here. You want to pull up? Yeah. And he pulled up.
Yeah, damn near. Yeah.
And did he script the Pocho thing?
I don't know if you ever seen Selena. So we pitched him the whole idea, and we kind of planned it according to his schedule pretty much, but... So I was like, all right, this is what you're going to say. We're going to script the Selena, what Selena's dad told her in the movie. And you're gonna, and we're gonna spoof Desperado. You're gonna pretty much kind of play Steve Buscemi's part where he's saying the story of the biggest Mexican he ever seen. But you're gonna be talking about me and my bro. But you're gonna flip it on some that's gonna describe like our struggle, including his, because I know he could relate to what he was saying. And then it goes into Pocho, where we're pretty much just speaking Spanglish the whole time. Yeah. Just kind of, again, going back to just throwing that shit on our back, like, and having people of that stature, plus there's a lot of comedians in there that are coming up, and it just meant a lot to like bring different worlds together in the Mexican American space and like do it in a really cool way, creative manner.
Doing that, yeah, one more. How'd you hook up with Be Real?
Be Real was through his podcast. Also just shooting our shot. I don't know how the we ended on the Be Real podcast, but we were there. I don't know. I just kind of snapped out of being so faded, and I'm like, damn, we're right here sitting with Be Real, just chopping up game. And was he was interviewing us just as much as we were interviewing him, you know what I mean? Because we were just trying to pick his brain. And yeah, he said he liked what we were doing. And then I was like, you like what we're doing? How much do you like what we're doing? Because we got a song for you right here, ready to send. And he was like, send it.
That was trying to get Highful?
Trying to get Highful.
Perfect.
But yeah, we felt like we had the perfect song for him, you know what I mean? He's a he's one of the goats when it comes to marijuana rap.
Come on. Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? And we sent it to him, and then less than a week later, he sent it back over.
Yeah.
And the rest was history.
We got another one with him working on. That's crazy.
All right, what's next? Tell me what's coming up and what's next.
We're just going to keep shooting the wall. Yeah. We have like a cypher song dropping with the homie Rowdy Rax. He's from LA too, up and coming, or San Fernando Valley. Where's he from?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's a spitter too, Mexican-American cat. It's like a cypher type of
Wait, what's track. His name one more time?
Rowdy Rax.
Rowdy Rax.
Okay. Rowdy
That's
Rax,
dropping
yeah.
this Friday. I don't know when this is going to air, but...
Soon. Rowdy Rax, probably already live. Let's go. Yeah. Rowdy Rax, Coyote.
A lot of legendary shit in the work.
A lot of legendary shit, yeah. Shows.
Three Cypress Hill shows coming up, or two, three.
Yeah, doing some with Cypress Hill.
One more thing, sorry. You guys toured with The Game.
Yeah.
How did that come about? How was that?
Yeah, well, our manager at the time was Game's manager. So we had the same manager, and led to us going to Europe. It was nuts. It was fun. It was an experience, to say the least. It was crazy.
How were you received in Europe?
They loved us, man. Fantastically.
Yeah.
Every single city didn't get booed once. Everybody turned up.
Get booed. How much you guys get booed? Hold on.
No,
it's because historically, we're
because before the tour started, this is something Game had came up to us and told us. He was like, hey, man, go out there, do your thing. If you get booed, don't get discouraged. He's like, I done brought everybody on tour with me. My fans can't come to see me. I had Nipsey, Kendrick, everybody. He just starts naming everybody that he brought on tour with him. He's like, they all got booed at least once. So don't get discouraged. Keep doing your And then, you know, I kind of took that as a challenge. Like, I bet. Not one city booed us.
We were moshing.
Well, because you guys put on a dope show.
And we didn't exist at the time.
Yeah, we had zero music out. So people were like, who the f*** is this? So it was probably like, it wasn't even worth going
hustling
on that
backwards.
Tour. Like, yeah, we were hustling backwards because like we had no music out. Everybody's trying to find our stuff after seeing us perform. But all in all, it was an amazing experience. Yeah. It was fun.
Does it feel, how do you feel being Mexican in hip hop right now in 2024, making an impact? Honestly, to me, being some of the dopest MCs doing it right now.
Yeah.
Does it play into your day-to-day or your image or your brand? But for real, like what does that mean? Coming from LA, being Mexican MCs in hip-hop.
To me, again, it means a lot just because... you know, the Eminem effect, you said it, like the Eminem, there was white rappers before Eminem, Beastie Boys, is that, but it didn't have the effect that Eminem had, like, because once Eminem did his thing, it no longer was a thought process when you see a white rapper, like, if it's dope, it's dope.
Right.
Before Eminem, it was always like a approach with skepticism type. If it was dope, cool, but then Eminem happened, and he's one of the greatest ever.
Yeah.
So again, with being Mexican, like there's been a lot of Mexican people to put on, but I don't feel like it had the Eminem effect. Whereas now it's like, well, like it's not like if you were to put someone on Coyote and you tell them they're Mexican, I bet the first thing is gonna be like, probably weak. You know, like that's just the first verses, like, just like, ah, let me hear it out. Like, I think Eminem had that effect on white rappers, and I think we have an opportunity to do that. Somebody's gonna do it. I'm not saying it's us. There's a lot of people aiming for it because there's a lot of us that are dope right now.
It's us, goddamn it.
It is, yeah. You guys.
I feel like it is
you guys. It's just, it's also adversity that we face being Mexican, because like you said, the stigma is Mexicans can't rap.
Yeah. And, I didn't say, hold
on. No, no, no,
hold
on.
Said, I did
I'm
not
saying,
say that.
I'm saying in general. Yeah, that's what they say. Mexicans can't rap. So, you know, that's why we put it on our back. Like, yeah, we can.
I bet if you ask the common person in the 50 states of the United States of America, 80% of them are going to say Mexicans can't rap. Like, but ask about Puerto Ricans. They probably won't be the same
different
result.
Story.
So it's like, so even though we know, because we're not dumb, and there's obviously history to prove what we've done and what we could do, but to the masses, it's not well known. So who's going to be the one to do it? And I think it is going to be us, like for multiple reasons than one. But so I like the challenge, man. I really like it, and I think it's important. So not to be on some self-righteous bullshit. Sometimes when I'm high, I be thinking like, man, you on some self-righteous bullshit. You really believe what you're saying?
But skills speak for themselves. All right, to close out, I always close out with one thing to do in L.A. this weekend.
Because God's
going to
show you when you are on some self-righteous bullshit. That's the fuck up. Like, ain't none of that shit you saying. Like, so you always got to be humble and just like accept the signals when they come, and just don't expect nothing. Because we've got to the point, like when we were going viral, almost everything we doing was working. So I started thinking like, ah, we figured it out.
Yeah.
And then the same trick stopped working.
I'm Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Because it became easily duplicatable. Then everyone on the internet.
Who painted that Michael Jackson artwork, by the way? I saw that.
Me? Where'd you see that?
I just saw that. That's what I do, man.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. It's in my barbershop.
Oh, we didn't even talk. Hold on. Tell me about the barbershop real quick.
That hub, I think, has been a...
Barbershop goes hand in hand with hip hop culture, you know what I'm saying? And the barbershop helped us keep the artistry going and keeping funding our music, really. You know what I'm saying? It gave us freedom to be able to create our own schedule. And
you guys cut hair?
We started cutting hair at a very young age, and it was a hustle for us. You know, we're businessmen, man. We got different.
What's it called? Where's it at? Plug
Four Points Barbershop. Melrose and Gardner. We're looking for barbers too.
Yeah, we're looking for barbers to blow that bitch up.
My man Rafa.
Yeah, we've met a lot of people that changed the trajectory of our career in our barbershop too.
It's fucking
one person particularly.
It's intimate.
Yeah, you meet a lot of people in a barbershop. Yeah.
Hold on. So give me your one thing to do in LA this weekend. You got one thing with your wife/kid potentially. What do you do this weekend?
Like literally?
Any weekend. Not necessarily this weekend. Any weekend.
Go to Sam's.
Yeah, take. Now, what I'm gonna do, man? I'm gonna go to Griffith Park, go on the hike.
Wow!
You saying what to do? What to tell
anything?
People to
what
do
you like doing with your family on the weekend in L.A.?
Man, go to Dockwater Beach, man.
Yes.
You know, get the fire going, watch the sunset.
Ooh.
Get some s'mores cracking, some brewskis. Get some micheladas from Guadalajara. Just go straight down Imperial.
106 Underground, I would have said that.
Now they're on Imperial. Checo's pretty fire.
Hold on, I just learned this about Imperial this week. Imperial.
The best strip club in the city is on Imperial, too.
Imperial Highway, second longest street in LA behind Sepulveda, spans three counties.
Oh, nice.
Riverside, Orange, and LA. Okay, so there you go. Just FYI. Good stuff.
Hell yeah.
All right, listen, thank you, Coyote.
Let's take one more shot, man, before we out, man.
Shots at. Let's go.
I'm actually going to go record an Instagram reel right now for our next single.
For my next trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to finish the bottle.
Yes.
It's done.
Oh, yeah.
Bros, thank you. Hey, listen, this is the truth. Coyote, I'm not fucking around. You guys know I like some hip-hop. Love some hip-hop. I grew up on the hip-hop.
Coyote, the best. We're the best out right
Coyote
now.
Coyote is f-ing dope.
Thank you, man.
Man, and most importantly, they're L.A. Yeah. Representing Mexican hip-hop in L.A. in a very important, underappreciated lineage for Be Real, Lighter Shade of Brown, 2Mex. Kid Frost.
I mean, in a minute.
Come on, this is Coyote.
Selena.
Check them out. Thicker Than Water, Selena. Their first album was so dope.
Which
like,
one you think
so
is better?
Composed.
Because you okay. just got put on to
I thought
water,
I right? thought L. Dot Aliens was amazing, okay?
Thank you, same.
But then I listened to Thicker Than Water after. I went backwards.
That's
I
the
know
proper
to...
introduction is Thicker
Bro,
Than Water.
I was amazed at how composed it was. The narrative with it. And then I was like, okay, these dudes were younger. There's no way they were going to have the like introspective, like blah, blah. No, you guys came with it at the end with... Right now, or maybe because it's newer, Thicker Than Water was better, but it's newer. But like L. Dot Aliens is dope because again, Be Real, Shaq twice. By the way, Shaq, the Rings track.
That was underappreciated.
The Rings track.
Did you see the video?
Dope. Of course I saw the video, bro.
Risk that.
He thought it was the greatest thing ever created
risk.
To man.
Wait, he did or Shaq?
He did.
So Shaq was down to film.
Okay. It was like claymation.
He was down to film another video.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be too much to ask of him until I presented the claymation idea.
Yeah.
And then he thought like he was going to have to wear clay. He's like, just tell me where to pull up. I'm down. And then I was like, I already had the claymation in motion.
Oh,
and that was expensive. So I was like, man, we should have just had Shaq to film it again. But I was like, nah, you know what? This is a creative thing for both of us. I wanted to try something different.
Yeah.
And it was a creative risk. It didn't hit like
I respect
thought it was.
That.
But
the video was great, though. The video was fire.
Later.
Yeah, the video was fire. It was
you
just...
saw the Western vibe?
Of course, man.
I love that video. So does my son. So,
dude, cheers. Yeah. Salute.
Hey, I took a shot.
All right, LA. It's been a minute.
Oh, yeah, man.
Much love. Thanks, guys.